Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Irene Blog Talk Radio Show with your host and creator, Minister Annie Bell, the founder and executive director of Wealth Management Ministries Incorporated. We are providing talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas. Please enjoy the show.
Well, thank you again, and welcome to the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight is our 50th episode. Yay! We are so humbled, especially me, just humbled and excited that God would see fit for us to continue serving our communities locally, nationally, and internationally through our radio broadcast. As you know, we have really made leaps and bounds into the international arena. We have a guest on from Australia, from Ghana twice. We have people just listening in from India, Pakistan, just all over Africa. So I'm just really, again, just so thankful. As you know, that I am Minister Annie Bell. I am the host and creator of Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. It is an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries, and we are endeavoring to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as providing awareness and prevention for all of our communities, not just here in Hotlanta, where I am, but out in all across the nation and internationally. So let's get started. Now, January is Sex Trafficking Awareness Month, and it is definitely apropos when you think about it, because right around January, and look, I'm not a big football fan, and I'm about to show my ignorance here, but right around that time is the Super Bowl. But what I do know is that around the time of Super Bowl, victims of sex trafficking are taken to the respective city, wherever the game is, and forced to service hundreds, close to thousands of men during that weekend. And so they pretty much work them almost all day, 24 hours. And for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then when they finish, they take them back to wherever their hometown is, and they are forced to go back on the street. So January being Sex Trafficking Awareness Month is very apropos. We also wanted to get a jump start on recognizing Sex Trafficking Awareness Month by bringing information about it and how to identify what is sex trafficking, what does it look like, who are the victims. And also in January, we have a great lineup of guests and very informative topics around this heinous crime called sex trafficking. Anyway, let's get started. I want to always level the playing field a little bit and make sure that everybody knows at least from where we're coming from. So let's define sex trafficking. It is a variety of trafficking and of human trafficking. It is always involved with forced prostitution of women and children, okay? Not as many men, but boys and girls, and of course, women. Sex trafficking is becoming the number one world crime, and that is above drug trafficking and above gun trafficking. So we're looking at over 40 million adults and children who are bought and sold worldwide in commercial sex servitude, looking like about 2 million children. Let me give you some more statistics, because this is going to kind of, again, blow your mind, but even the playing field, so that when we're talking about how to recognize and identify sex trafficking, you're going to be able to see its true myriad, you know, its true landscape. So 76% are women, but did you know that 20% are males? I mean, so 76% are females, 23% are males, okay? The other thing is, we might think that this is happening to other nationalities, other races, but 66% of sex traffic victims are white, are Caucasian. That's a big number, and that's here in the United States. We're not talking about other countries. And if you look at the Black African American, you're looking at 47%. And so it's really something, you know, to definitely look at. There is obviously the Hispanics, and there really isn't a borderline, or it doesn't just affect one race or one nationality. So now, when we talk about ages, this is the part that really, really bothers me. It is children as young as 4, but there have been documented cases of infants being sold into sex trafficking as well. And in the poverty-stricken countries, you're looking at children being sold for literally $15 to $20. These infants being sold. So they are raped at a young age. They are conditioned to become workers in the sex industry at infancy. And so we're looking at 33% being 14 to 15-year-olds, 54% 16 to 17-year-olds. And if you were on our show last week, you heard one of our survivors of sex trafficking, and she told us that for some reason, 15-year-olds are highly coveted as well as the ones that are, you know, 11 and 12-year-olds. So we're looking at about 10% of 12 and 13-year-olds who are being trafficked. I hope that made your jaw drop, because we want the shock factor. We want you to see that this is a pervasive problem across all demographics. Any and everybody is at risk. Your child, your daughter, your son, you know, your niece, your nephew, your mother, they are at risk at becoming a victim. So joining us tonight again to aid in this conversation is our resident expert that I would like to call her, Mrs. Felicia Ingram. So welcome to the studio. Yay!
Thank you, Annie. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure.
Yes.
To talk
well, you know,
to you
again. You're going to be on a couple more times, because like I said, we definitely enjoyed having you on last time, and you shared some great information. So I appreciate you spending the time. And you're in Connecticut, correct?
I am.
Yes.
It's rather cold here. Actually, it's going down to probably the 20s tonight, and over the next couple of days, it's going to be the high Thursday, Friday, is supposed to be in the 20s.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, I'm sitting here crying about the fact that we're, I think, 50 or something like that.
We would love to have 50 p.m.
There's a reason why I moved to Hotlanta. So, anyway, I appreciate you. Now, we're going to have our, you know, we're going to kind of do this a little bit differently. We're just going to speak categorically and not have too many just questions, but, you know, categorically speaking. speaking and sharing the information so that our listeners can have that. I want to talk first about risk factors. And I do want to thank you, Felicia, for really putting this together so we can have a really fluid and robust conversation. So risk factors, tell our listeners about, you know, some of the risk factors that we need to keep our eyes open for.
Okay, this may be a repeat of a couple of weeks ago because we covered the survivors, but some of the risk factors are people that have suffered from poverty and or homelessness. This can contribute to the person being vulnerable because the trafficker or pimp will be able to more or less assess them as they see them. They're on the street to be able to see that there's a need there that they don't have, you know, what exactly it is that they need to survive. So that's a risk factor there. Someone who has had past or exists a current abuse or trauma and involved in the child welfare system. Anybody involved with the Department of Child and Family Services, if they age out of the system, or even if they're part of the system, they're a person that's a trafficker or a pimp would more than likely be able to pick them out of a crowd.
And, you know, a couple things I wanted to add. Poverty, well, let's say this. Finances is the common vein, the thread that is shared. When there is a lack of financial stability, not only are children and other vulnerable demographics subject to abuse, but they are also subject to exploitation. Like I said, a mother in Africa who feels that, hey, this child will have a better chance if I sold the baby and then I can take this $20 and feed the other kids. That to me blows my mind. And so the demand side exploits it. The demand side, because they want that flesh, and so the suppliers are looking for the supply. So, you know, part of our endeavor at Wealth Management Ministries is to teach financial literacy so that there is more empowerment there. There is not a feeling of hopelessness. That's one of the things that, and I believe we have to light the candle at both ends, teach that plus aid in the healing of those who are survivors so that there is no repeat. The other thing, you know, we talked about is multi-victimization. And that is when a person who has already endured trauma in the past, especially children, they are apt to have a feeling of helplessness. So they actually show, they can see, people can see that, especially those who are trying to look for prey. And so when a situation arises where they feel like, okay, I'm in a risky situation, they go into a helpless and hopeless mode, and so which heightens the potentiality of them being re-victimized. And so I'm glad you brought that piece up as well, and of course about the welfare system, you know, horrendous. I even read an article and posted it on Irene Facebook page where I believe they charged like 200 people within the system who were exploiting their client population, which is our kids, and exploiting them in pornography as well, the pornographic industry as well as sex trafficking. You know, it's about that time. I don't know why our time goes by so fast. I promise you, this 60 minutes during our show, it just goes so fast. I have to take a quick break. So if everyone will just hold tight, we'll be right back with just a couple of information and some station identification.
Sadly, today most of us know at least one person that suffers from addiction or substance abuse. Addiction does not discriminate. No age, gender, race, or classes of people are immune to the horrors of addiction. This epidemic has ruined families, claimed lives, and left loved ones devastated. Over 100 people die from overdoses daily, and over 20 million Americans suffer from some form of addiction. For this reason, author Lloyd H. Bell Jr. has written the book Clean and Serene. The author is an addictions counselor and recovering addict of over 13 years. He knows and has firsthand experience of being caught in the grips of addiction. Clean and Serene provides experience, strength, and hope for the still suffering addict. It can also be used as a tool in recovery. Whether it is used in a group setting or individually, this book was written to assist in the recovery process and encourage. Integrating inspirational, encouraging, and challenging scriptures, the author has provided a resource that is sure to change lives. If you or someone you know is battling with addiction, this book is for you. If you are in recovery, this is a great resource to add to your toolbox. If you are a group leader or addictions counselor, this is an awesome book for group therapy. Clean and Serene, Scriptural Meditations for Recovery, is available nationwide in both ebook and print. Get your copy or a copy for some you know today from Amazon or Barnes & Noble Bookstore. For less than $10, you can potentially change the life of someone currently paying the high cost of living with an addiction.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Again, welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show. I am Minister Annie Bell, and we are being powered by We Inspire Network Radio. If you're interested in doing any kind of advertising for your church, your business, your organization, we are the one to advertise with. We are growing every day, and we have low advertising packages, so think about that. I want to also make a quick announcement that tonight's show is our last show of the year. We'll be back in January after the holidays, but during that time, we will be posting our past archived shows for your listening enjoyment and education. So just wanted to make that announcement. We are back with Miss Felicia Ingram talking about how to recognize sex trafficking. Now, as far as, let's talk about the recruitment strategies by traffickers, because there's a strategy. Now, this is a business, people. And the business is very lucrative, and so they have a whole lingo, and I'm gonna share some of that lingo with you. But let's talk about that, Felicia, about the some of the strategies that traffickers use.
All right, some of them are false promises. And they may promise you a modeling or a job that's a well-paying job. And a lot of people tend to fall into the trap of believing that these things will occur. Those things you don't have to worry about. What happens is they groom a person as well. They promise them hair, hair and makeup, getting their nails and their feet manicured, buying clothes and food and a place to stay. Mm-hmm. And I actually would like to talk about something that episode that I saw through a DVD called Trick, TRICKED. And actually one of the segments talks about a young lady who actually went to my alma mater in Boston, Northeastern University.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to this young lady is she went to a party where she thought other people were going to be attending. When she gets to the party, she finds out those friends were not there. So she ran into an older gentleman that was there. And what happened is the gentleman took her out to dinner. And then after that, he gave her, gave her a meal, gave her a nice thing. And before you know it, the guy had turned her into prostitution.
Mm.
So that's what I mean, just be very careful when you're meeting with people. You don't know what their ulterior motives might be. And also, you probably should see her vulnerability, that she didn't know anybody and knew a way of finding his way in to get her.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, another strategy, newspapers and internet. The internet is a big contributor to try and trapping people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
that's very true.
Yes. And the another one is they have other people that are in the business that try and coerce others to go into the business. You know, they may befriend a young person and say, well, gee, I have a great way for you to make money. So this is how they introduce them to the trafficker or the pimp. So that's
mm-hmm.
another way that the people more than likely are not going to see that this is coming.
That's right. That's right. Now, the other thing that they also do is promise love and affection. So you have boyfriends, quote unquote, who will turn out their girlfriends, and we'll talk about some of the methodologies, but promising them to love them as they are, and saying stuff like, "Hey, how beautiful they are," or "How smart and talented." Those are some of the strategies and tactics as well. And the sad thing to me is that we are raising children or girls to in a way that there is such an absence of love from their family that just the mention of getting some love and affection from a stranger is that appealing. That bothers me, because the father should validate the daughter. The mother should nurture the children. And the father is also a mentor and validate the son as well. So if this is happening within the home, and I'm not saying we have to be perfect, because Lord knows none of us are, but they should feel that love, the genuine, unconditional love from from their parents first, which is also a representative of who God is. In the eyes of children, parents are ambassadors of God, of Christ. And so if they are receiving that type of nurturing and that type of love at home first, they're going to also receive it within their spirit and know that the Heavenly Father loves them as well as their mother and father here on earth. So that when someone says, hey, baby, you know I'm going to love you. You know, I'm going to treat you well. I'm going to treat you good. I'm going to do this for you and do that for you. There should be something that says, well, that doesn't mm-hmm. sound like, you know, it doesn't sound like my dad. Or, wait a minute, you know, I'm already loved, you know, because there has to be that love so that they can have the self-love. So that's something that, you know, again, I wanted to make sure we pull out. That grooming is very important, because I'm going to tell you, they know how to talk to your kids. And so you're going to need to get to learn how to talk to your children as well. Very important piece. You know, my daughter and I, we almost have opposite personalities and love languages. I'm more of a gift and service type love language. My daughter is words of affirmation as well as tender touches. And so I have to learn her love language to be able to fill up her love tank as her mother. And same thing with her dad, you know. We have to take the time to learn. These children are ours to protect and to raise and to into not just good citizens but good followers of Christ. Now, methods of control, that's another thing that we really need to talk about. And so, what would you like to share about the methods that they use to control our victims, these victims?
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the worst things that I continue to hear as far as the debt bondage. Whenever somebody is tricked into this trade, they never seem to get from under. They may, you know, like I mentioned previously, they buy them all these things, and they say, okay, you owe me for this.
Mm-hmm.
So they service so many customers a day, a week, what have you. But the debt never seems to get paid. First of all, they don't pay them. They get little to nothing. Mm-hmm. And then they begin to charge them for everything. If they have a room, okay, I've paid for your room. Okay, I'm paying for your towels. I'm paying for your toiletries. I'm paying for everything in this room. So you really don't feel that anything is ever, you're ever out of debt. It just seems to be a continuing cycle. So I can't imagine what somebody feels when debt is never paid. So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they have any kind of documents, you know, a birth certificate or anything, or driver's license, anything that identifies them, they take it from them.
That's
one way that prevents them from, say, going to the authorities or going for help, is they have nothing to identify who they are. So that's another thing. Physical harm, you know, if they feel you haven't served the customer, or they feel you're hiding anything from them, they beat them. It's social isolation. Say, for example, you just mentioned the boyfriend. In order to keep that person away from the family, they may isolate them. They say that, you know, you have a cell phone. I want you to pick up the cell phone every time it rings. So that's the type of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
They get them hooked on drugs.
Yeah.
Substance abuse is a huge problem with a lot of victims as well. They get hooked on drugs so that they can continue to serve their clients or knowing that they have to get a drug in order to survive or to make it to the next day. If the person has a language, you know, doesn't speak known language, they hear, obviously most people speak English, so if you come from another country and you only speak your language, you're not going to be able to have a voice for yourself to be able to talk to somebody. You know, should you get rescued or should you run into somebody wanting to get help, you don't have a way to communicate with somebody, and that would prevent you from talking to somebody as well. And
mm-hmm.
as long as they prevent you from speaking, you know, with English yourself, then that's going to prevent you from getting help or getting out.
That's right. That's right. You know, I wanted to add also the debt bondage. It also is a snowball effect because if, for instance, trafficker A sells the victim to trafficker B for, let's say, whatever, $5,000, $15,000, whatever that they sell them, the victim for, then trafficker B is going to make her pay off that debt for buying her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, nobody told you to buy the girl in the first place, but that's not what we're talking about. I'm just saying. So, but they're putting that debt and that on, you know, on that victim, and which is so, it's crazy how they have that. And of course, then the other documents that they confiscate are passports, because if you were brought in again from another country, whether you went from Africa to Denmark. Or, you know, they'll take your passport so that you can't flee the country. You can't, you know, identify who you are. And like you said, because of the linguistics barrier, you know, they may not be able to ask for help or to, you know, to be in a foreign country in and of itself is overwhelming. But to not speak the language and to not to know who to trust and what their culture is, I mean, that is, again, another you know, component to that method of controlling them. And so those are really, really great, you know, things that you have brought up as well. I do, when we come back from our next break, I'm going to talk to you about the different types of pimps or traffickers that are out there and some of the lingo that is used inside of the trafficking, commercial sex trafficking industry. Give us 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. My name is Minister Annie Bell, and I am the host of iRain Blog Talk Radio Show, where we endeavor to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as being the vehicle by which we use to bring awareness and resources to the community to aid in the prevention of these abuses. iRain, which is a declarative acronym for the individual survivor, that means I identify myself as a survivor, no longer a victim. R, reclaim my life. E, excel at living. G, grow in Christ. And N, nurture myself and others. This declarative acronym has developed into a victorious lifestyle brand that empowers and aids in the healing journey of survivors of abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas. I have also written a book entitled, with the namesake, I Reign, A Survivor's Guide to Thrive, which is now available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Pick up your copy of my book today and join me every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. here on We Inspire Network Radio, where together, through God, we win. If we endure, we will reign with Christ.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Again, welcome back to the half-hour mark of I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm Minister Annie Bell, and we are powered by We Inspire Network Radio, where together we win. Okay, well, as you know, we're one of the outreaches of Wealth Management Ministries, and we have just launched our virtual Christian counseling and coaching and counseling sessions. So if you're interested, please give us a call, and we will definitely get you in. Go to www.anniebellministries.com to schedule your sessions. Hey, that would be great. Now, we're back with Miss Felicia Ingram, and she is here to talk to us about recognizing sex trafficking and how we can also help. Now, before we left off, I had promised that I'm going to give you some lingo that you want to be aware of. Now, there is, as far as pimps are concerned, pimps are also in the sex trafficking industry. They're also called daddies. So if you hear a person, especially a child, referring to someone as daddy, that should kind of raise a little bit of an alarm. But there's someone called a finesse pimp, and that pimp or trafficker entices the victims with smooth talking and false promises that Felicia had mentioned earlier. There's also gorilla pimp, and that pimp is one who uses extreme force and brutality against those that he employs in their network. This is a guy who will groom their victim their first night by having them raped, gang raped by anywhere from 4 to 10 men at that one night. They will also inject narcotics in their veins, whether it's cocaine, heroin, whatever have you, to begin to get that person addicted. And then, of course, they will also beat them up. They'll do a variation of all three of those. Sometimes they'll do it all that one night where they're getting beat, raped, and injected with narcotics. And so the guerrilla pimps, that's normally their MO. You also have what's known as the Romeo pimp, and that's the pimp we're talking about who entices their victims with promises of love and a relationship. So that is what I wanted to kind of bring that up so that you have an idea, because there is a full language that is spoken in this industry in the United States, and of course those that other countries as well that speak English. Bottom is also the person who is the female under the control of a trafficker, but who holds the leadership role. So that female, if they're called, bottom, they actually are like the supervisor, if you want to call it, and they have risen above the ranks. Normally, they themselves were trafficked, and then maybe men stopped wanting that person, so, she's not going for high value anymore, so they just keep her to recruit other women and keep those women in control. They're also referred as bottom girl or bottom bitch. So, those are the lingos. And I will get some more lingos out to you during the show as it fits whatever we're talking about, whatever category. We want to also then move into red flags. So, Felicia, tell us, what are they talking about when they say red flags?
Little things that you could recognize if you see people that they don't have a way to move around. If you notice that they're, say, for example, if you see them, like, hanging around maybe a truck stop, they really don't have a way to move around. You just see them in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Either somebody's watching them or they just don't have a way to move around.
Mm-hmm.
Another red flag is they don't seem to have a separate work or home life. For example, you would never know that they were being trafficked. Say, for example, they're going to school or going home. There's no, you really don't see any differentiation of the two. And that very well, the person very well can be trafficked without you even knowing that's occurring.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I actually have a friend that told me not too long ago that she recalls years ago when she was a teacher that she would see young girls changing into different clothes, and she never really knew what that was all about, but she believed they may have been trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
And that was many years ago. So that's what,
wow,
I mean, where you wouldn't know that kind of thing is going on. And I hear people around here thinking that doesn't occur, but it very well could be happening. There's no way. When people are going through this, there's no one they could tell. They've been threatened that if they talk to the authorities or if they talk to somebody else, like in the school, a teacher, that the harm will come to themselves or their family. So they're very reluctant, and they really have them trained so that they believe that this will happen. Again, possession of personal documents, holding on to a passport or any kind of identification. If you were to ask somebody what kind of, if they had any identification, they would more than likely say they didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
They're not able to communicate. A good example would be if they're with somebody and that person is doing off talk before, that's very that's something that you would probably say that would be kind of odd. That why is that person talking for them? I could give an incident where, say, somebody is going to a clinic and an older person is with them. And the person is asking them questions, but somebody else is speaking for them.
Mm-hmm.
So many times what happens is they'll ask, recognize something's going on, so they'll ask the older person to step outside. You know, for example, somebody being examined. Well, you need to step outside so we can examine the person. You know, we can't have you in the room while the person's being examined. Somebody in, say, for example, healthcare, that would be a red flag for somebody in healthcare. Another what happens a lot of times as well is many of the traffickers or pimps, they'll brand or tattoo the person who's being trafficked. That's very prevalent, and I've even heard lately that they're inserting devices into people. Actually, that was on a recent Chicago Med episode where somebody actually had a device implanted in them. It was a tracking device. So that's even something that's new. And now they're inserting tracking devices in their in the people.
I mean, they are high tech. Like I'm telling you guys, this sex trafficking industry is, they are literally 7 to 10 steps ahead of us. Because they've already been
And then physical. If you see, again, I'm going to use the healthcare a red flag that the healthcare person, and many times the people in the healthcare industry aren't aware. You know, if somebody comes in, like say, with a broken arm, a leg, or other contusions on the body. And the person is, she's clumsy, she fell down the stairs. They're not likely to think anything of it. You know, they're likely to think, okay, this is a child that's clumsy. They're not really going to look at that too, as something to identify with. So those are definitely cues that people should be looking for.
Those are great red flags. And some of the branding, like you said, the tattooing, sometimes they use the, like a cattle brander, so that it's painful. Yeah. And also for those who are not members of IRAIN, Stop Abuse and Abolish Sex Trafficking, I'm going to urge you to do so. We've put up a lot of information. Felicia actually put up something about a nonprofit who helps those who have been branded or tattooed. Yeah. To help them to kind of refurbish that into something different so that they don't have, the survivors don't have that constant reminder of, John's property or whatever have you, or even their gang symbol and stuff like that. So please get on our Facebook page so that you can have that information. I'll also be uploading a lot of information, including the lingo, some of the things that we're, doing and how to recognize it. The other thing that we really have to, like you said, in the medical industry, with the nurses and everyone, they have to recognize the different types of red flags. But for us, for the layman, one of the things that you can look for are any print marks on print bruises. So, for instance, if it looks like there is a bruise on their neck, really, no one should have a bruise going around their neck. Bruises in different places that it shouldn't be, or handprints on their body, bruises of handprints. Something that might look like a belt, or if it looks like a cord, like a switch. Those are some other physical things that you can look for. Obviously, if a lot of them are addicted, you can look for tracks on their arms and, necks and different places. That's another red flag as well. When we come back in our last quarter hour, we're going to talk about the common places where you can find sex trafficking going on. So, again, give us 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Hello. My name is Minister Lloyd Bell, Jr., CEO CEO of We Inspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Inspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Inspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Thank you again for staying with us. Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show. I am Minister Annie Bell, and we are powered by WIN Network Radio. Again, I want to issue a trigger warning. So if you are triggered by anything we're talking about here, please don't hesitate to contact one of us so that we can help you. Also, of course, we're going to give you some numbers tonight of where to call if you need someone immediately. And we also have prayer on Thursday night, and you can call us on the prayer line, which is 530-881-1212, access code 225-184-078. Tonight, we're talking about how do you recognize sex trafficking, because it almost looks like prostitution. And although prostitution is legal, you know, it is something completely different. Prostitution is more so of someone, whether they're under the control of a pimp or not, but someone deciding to sell their bodies. Sex trafficking, whole nother ball game. They're being forced into this type of life, and some are being manipulated, others are being beaten, some are being, you know, drugged up. So it's truly heinous. In Europe, they actually, in 1999, and we're kind of far behind them in this area, but in Sweden, they passed a landmark legislation that decriminalizes the act of selling sex, but in turn criminalized the act of purchasing sex, hitting them right where the demand is. And I love that idea, and I wish that we can change some of our laws here so that we stop arresting prostitutes and sex trafficking victims. Now they, not only were they now having to survive through their life with having this trauma of being trafficked, but now they have a record. Ridiculous. Why not hit where the demand is? Why not hit where the people are purchasing it? So, because if the people stop purchasing it, guess what? If there's no money to be made, and traffickers will go away. They'll go find something else to do. So welcome back, Ms. Felicia Ingram. And we're actually going to go into and talk about then where can they spot, what are the common places to find sex trafficking going on?
Major strip clubs and massage parlors. I think most people feel that in strip clubs you would just find strippers. They have no idea that what's going on in, say, that back room, or that might be the start of starting as a stripper, but then it turns into victimizing the person. Massage parlors is another place. No, it's another front, really. It's people think they're coming in for that, but then other things are going on besides that.
Mm-hmm.
Or brothels, hotels. Many people don't realize all the traffic, and I'm just saying traffic in quotes, that comes in and out, all the people. You have no idea what's going on in a lot of these hotels. In Connecticut, while they were trying to pass a law about hourly rates, can't recall right now whether or not that went through or not, but a hotel that charges an hourly rate is a red flag.
Yes.
In many cases, it's mostly used for truck drivers or people just passing through. But it's also used as a way for prostitution as well. So that's something that I know many places, many states around the country are working on that to abolish that. And I actually at a particular symposium, they were talking about it, and they said you have to be kind of careful because if you have a man coming with his daughter, you can't assume that that's going on. So it's kind of a shaky situation, but I know that they kind of put a halt on it because a lot of the truck drivers were complaining that they need a place to stay, maybe for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put that law into effect, then it's gonna hurt them in many ways. So I know that's something that they're still working on. They're trying to stop that kind of thing going on at hotels. Airport is another place, and again, you have people coming in from other countries, and a lot of people people going from one side of the country or one state to another. That's a red flag as well. And I don't know that maybe customs, somebody working in customs might find that kind of thing going on. Casinos is another place that was going on. Major highways such as I-95, where they can, have people go from one end of 95, like tell people from New York to Boston. That can happen many times in one day. So that's a hot spot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Truck stop is a major one as well. I mean, there's so much activities going in, you probably wouldn't be able to see it unless you were really monitoring the situation. And I know Truckers Against Trafficking is a wonderful organization that shares a lot of information about what's going on with the trafficking. They're really a really great source about what's going on with that. Bars, you never know what's going on with bars. That's another place. Buses and train stations. This is a hot spot for people that are running away. And there are people just waiting in the corners of bus stations and train stations, waiting for people to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And also somebody's home as well. A lot of times, people from foreign countries will lure people, to be nannies or something at somebody's home, and that's a great way for somebody to take somebody's passport or documents and have them be a sex slave in somebody's house. So those are just a few places that you would find sex trafficking. First.
And, you had also mentioned places of worship where a church was conducting a sex trafficking ring right out of the edifice. And, I guess a better question would be, where is sex trafficking not happening? The list here is immense. Just about everywhere except Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, it's just like, what? There's so much going on. There's also something called Kitty Stroll. And that is sex trafficking lingo for an area known for prostitution that features younger victims. And so if you ever hear that, that is what they're talking about. And, hotels, we definitely need to educate the entire hotel staff, especially those in the front desk and housekeeping, because they're going to notice it more. We have about 6 minutes left, so I do want to talk about the signs of sex trafficking, as well as give out some resources. So let's hop to that real quick. The signs of sex trafficking.
So, does a person appear to be disconnected from family, friends, or community organizations, or houses of worship? Has a child stopped attending school? has the person had a sudden or dramatic change in behavior? Is the juvenile engaged in commercial sex acts? Is the person disoriented or confused or showing signs of mental or physical abuse? Does the person have bruises in various stages of healing? Is the person fearful, timid, or submissive? Does the person show signs of having been denied food, water, sleep, or medical care? Is the person often in the company of someone that he or she refers to, or someone who seems to be in control of the situation, where they go or who they talk to? Does the person appear to be coached on what to say? I think I mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is the person living in unsuitable living conditions? Does the person place personal possessions and appear not to have a stable living situation? Does the person have freedom of movement? I mentioned that before. Can the person freely live where they leave where they live?
Mm-hmm.
Are there unreasonable security measures?
Those are good. Also, what you want to look for is less appropriately dressed than before. So if you see a person who used to dress appropriately for school now coming in not dressed that way, that's a sign. If there is more sexual behavior, they're more enticing, more tempting or seductive. They start bragging about having lots of money, wearing expensive clothes all of a sudden, or accessories and shoes. That's something that you want to look at. Is their boyfriend older? Is it a 14-year-old dating a 21, 25, 20, 35-year-old person? That is something that you want to look for. Are they friends with a different – are there new friends with a different lifestyle? Do they talk about wild parties or even started to show signs of gang affiliation? Now, one of the things that you also want to look for in when you're looking at their boyfriend or so-called boyfriend, quote-unquote, their trafficker or pimp, they're going to act real jealous and controlling and even violent. So that's when you're looking at the victim and the possible trafficker. The victim won't make eye contact. Now, this is something that you want to be careful of. They won't even make eye contact to other people of authority, especially men, because they're taught not to look them in the eye. They get slapped down. They'll get slapped down for looking, making eye contact. Because if you make eye contact with another pimp, then that pimp will say, okay, well, she want me. And so they can, take them. And so another thing is, does that trafficker or person make them feel responsible for financial stability? A lot of times they're putting them out in the street so that they can have something to eat or food or, place to live. And so when they're turning their girlfriends out, they're putting that type of responsibility on them. I want to talk about resources real quick. We got about a minute and a half. Felicia, you have some resources that you would like to talk about?
Oh, yeah. There's a wonderful DVD out called In Plain Sight.
Mm-hmm.
This is a documentary produced by a gentleman by the name of David Trotter, T-R-O-T-T-E-R. You can find that DVD on Amazon. And this is an excellent documentary because it talks about trafficking going on in areas you wouldn't even think, around your neighborhood.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Another resource is, again, I mentioned this DVD called Tricked. That's actually, you probably see it on YouTube as well. There's another one, audiobook called Backyard. That's about a survivor of sex trafficking. So these are just a few resources that I think would be a big help to a lot of people to get a more understanding of sex trafficking and what to look for.
Okay, great. And also for those, again, become our friends or member on Facebook, Irene, Stop Abuse and Abolish Sex Trafficking. Cypress Christian Community Center in Texas They're doing an event to help stop sex trafficking during the Super Bowl. If you look down at our advertisement, you'll see more of that information. Polaris is also another area that you can contact. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, 1-802-872-6199. I also want to give the National Runaway Switchboard, 1-800-RUNAWAY. Felicia, I want to thank you for being on the show with us, and we are out of time. But I will, of
thank
course,
you,
start with you're welcome. You're welcome. With our wisdom to reign, be your child's first number one fan, their loudest cheerleader, the greatest encourager, and the truest believer. To connect with me, go to www.wealthmngt.org or AnnieBellMinistries.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can find me everywhere, so please look for me. And don't forget to pick up my book, I Reign, A Survivor's Guide to Thrive. Let's reign together with Christ. See you next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Good night, everybody.
Night.